Jairam, dear listeners. In today's episode of Tryst with Divinity, we bring you a conversation with Miss Aruna Sairam, who is indisputably one of India's greatest living vocalists.
Bo Shambho Shiva Shambho Swayambho. 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 Bo Shambho Shiva Shambho.
Aruna Sairam was born in Mumbai, India. Her mother, Srimati Rajalakshmi Sithuraman, was a talented singer and Aruna's very first teacher, while her father, Sri Sithuraman, was an enlightened connoisseur of the arts who hobnobbed with India's greatest artists. It was there that an impressionable Aruna met the renowned singer T. Brinda, who coached her for the next 10 years. Soon, Miss Aruna Sairam was recognized as an important exponent of South India's Carnatic classical style music repertoire, which is rooted in the ancient Vedic tradition still prevalent in South India's temples. While interpreting the ragas that form the core of these works, Aruna's majestic, powerful alto resonates with prayerful worship and emotion. During her long concert career, Miss Aruna Sairam has developed an individual style that, while based first and foremost upon her chosen path, remains open to beneficial influences from other fields. Her collaboration at the Fez Festival of World Sacred Music in Morocco with Dominique Vellard, a French master of Gregorian chants, as well as with notable American and Muslim musicians during the Spirit of Fez U.S. National Tour 2006 are two such high points. Aruna tours frequently in Europe, participating in major festivals, recording music, conducting workshops, and appearing on television. In 1999, she presented opening concerts of the season at the Théâtre de la Ville in Paris for the Opera House of Lyon and for Radio France, a live concert broadcast all over the country. Steeped in her own musical tradition, Aruna brings richness to all her collaborations. For several years, she has toured in Germany with Christian Baumann and Michael Ryman, who fuse European overtone music and a range of international instruments with Aruna's vocal improvisations. Their CD, Aruna, Thousand Names of the Divine Mother, was recorded in the crypt of a Benedictine monastery. Back home in India, Aruna has performed all over the country, including at the Rashtrapati Bhavan in New Delhi. Every December, she gives several recitals during the celebrated Madras Music Festival. Aruna Sairam has received several major awards, including the title of Sangeet Chudamani in 2006. This is considered to be one of the most prestigious honors for a musician in India. Despite all her successes, one performance that means the world to Miss Aruna Sairam was the rendition she offered to Bhagwan Sri Satyasai Baba on July the 15th, 2011. On that historic Guru Purnima day at Prashanti Nilayam, the Mahasamadhi of Bhagwan Baba was unveiled, and the first artist to offer her music at the sacred spot was Miss Aruna Sairam. Given the solemnity of the occasion, Miss Aruna Sairam's powerful singing lifted the devotee's spirits to transcend the form and experience the fullness of the all-pervasive cosmic Sai. Ms. Aruna Sairam, it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Yesterday, which is 15th of July 2011, was a very special day for millions of Sai devotees around the world. Because after the passing on of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, this was our day of closure, of prayer, because the Mahasamadhi was unveiled on this day, the sacred holy Mahasamadhi of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And you were privileged to be the first performing artist to sing your heart out on this occasion. What was the experience like?
It was unbelievable. When I recollect, I think I was in a complete dream-like situation. I was in a daze. I didn't know what was happening. I was seated right in front of his Mahasamadhi. And all I knew is I was pouring my heart out. I was just crying out to him. I don't remember anything else.
Well, as a listener, we felt you were in a divine elevated state of consciousness, like in a trance. Because especially the bhajan that you sang, Shambho and
yes.
Jago, it was so powerful. It was almost impossible to imagine that a petite person like yourself has such a big voice. You created these ripples of divine energy in that hall. Where was it all coming from? Do you normally sing with such gusto and power and purity?
That's what people say. I mean, because once I start singing, I really every time don't know what's happening to me. But people say that there is a lot of energy and a lot of ecstasy. And I, in a sense, it's a relationship with my gurus that I have. And I must recount an incident, if I may.
Please do.
And several incidents have happened between me and Mama Baba. My relationship with Baba has always been very distanced, in the sense physical distance has been there, but mentally and spiritually, I always was very, very close to him. So ever since I had his darshan at the age of 10, every time I had a question or a problem or an anxiety or a pain, I always called out to him. And later I also learned to call out to him in moments of happiness to thank him for everything. Particularly there are many incidents in my personal life that also where he has helped me. But as far as music is concerned, there were times when I was completely unrecognized, I mean, there was nobody, no takers for what I was doing. And I was living in Bombay. I was coming to Chennai. I was crying out for some acceptance and it wasn't coming. And a whole hall of, let's say, about 1,200 seater would have just about 50 or 100 people sitting. And all I wanted was the 100 to become at least 200 or 400.
Wow.
I didn't ask for more. But today, there are thousands and thousands of people coming to my concerts. But those days, I remember when I sat at every auditorium, all I would do is bring Baba and put him on the front seat. In fact, even as I traveled to the auditorium, I would tell him, you know, Baba, you have to go there. You have to clean the place for me. You have to clean it of all the whatever difficulties that I may face. Please clean it up. Make it ready for me to come and sing. I would order him as though he was like my, you know, somebody who would do things for me. But I would tell him, please go and do all that for me. But when I come, I want you seated there in a very, very clean atmosphere. And I'm going to sing for you. So concert after concert, I just sang for him.
And look at where it's taking you.
And see
you.
Where he took me, from where to where.
From anonymity to this place where people say you're the heiress to the throne.
Absolutely.
That has been vacated by M.S. Subbulakshmi, the legendary M.S.
Yes.
Subbulakshmi. I guess he had a huge role to play in your rise as a singer.
He did.
And yesterday's performance, which was so special for so many, I think you were handpicked by him for that special moment.
Absolutely.
So your association, I understand, with Baba began when you were 10 years old in the city of Mumbai. Tell us about that.
My mother was a very spiritual person, and she would...
And your first guru, your music guru?
Yes, she was my guru too. So one day she said, we are going to go to... the place was called Dharma Prakash. It's called Dharma Prakash.
Dharma Kshetra.
So Dharma Kshetra...
In Andheri.
Yeah, in Andheri. So she said, we are going to go there. And I remember every minute of that visit, we were there sitting amongst the crowds, waiting for Baba to show his darshan. And then when he came, my heart very much is in sync with the Brazilian gentleman that spoke yesterday morning, where he said,
Mr. Guter.
Yeah, even before he came, you know, the heart would flutter. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to me then. And it always happened to me. The few times that I did come and take darshan here, always I knew he was there. And even when he wasn't physically there, when I called out to him and he came, I could feel it, that he was there. Helping me.
And despite the fact that you've not had any physical interaction with Baba,
no.
He's become such an essential part of your life.
Yes.
And a real living presence.
Yes.
How did you develop or cultivate that inner relationship with him? Because a lot of people wonder, you know, I've never had a chance to talk to him. Am I as close as the person who has had many interactions? But in your case, clearly that's not...
No, it was not at all. In fact, I used to come here. I didn't come very often. Whenever I could, I came. It was very few times, but I would come. Among the crowds, I would sit in whatever seat I got in the morning. I would stand in the queue, and then Baba would give darshan, and that's it. But somehow, mentally, I never felt the need for a physical proximity to him. I didn't feel it. I didn't feel he wasn't noticing me or anything, because my relationship was completely internal. So, in fact, even to sing, you know, there were nearly four occasions when I was asked by somebody to come and sing here when Baba was physically present. And I would call my accompanists and we would fix up everything, the date and everything. And then for some reason, the call would come and say, no, it's not happening this time. So it never happened till Baba was physically there. And it's so poignant that on the Guru Purnima yesterday, when he's physically not there, and I strongly believe that when the physical presence is not there, the spiritual presence is even more potent,
yes.
Even more all-pervading, that he should have called me after all these times, you know, so to say, testing me, teasing me for whatever he wanted to know about me. And then yesterday he called me. It was something so unusual, so different. And
Was it hard to sing in front of the Mahasamadhi?
No, it was very easy, because I felt he was there, so I just opened my heart out. Because you remember, I always had him seated in my concerts. I still have him always in my concerts.
That's right.
In the front seat. So
you began early.
It was,
you began very early your practice of experiencing him in his formless.
Exactly. So that's why for
you're
me,
you're ahead
physical,
of the game.
Yeah, physically, that he's not there, it doesn't make, frankly, any difference to me.
My next question to you is, how hard or easy is it to be a musician in today's world where there's so much of remakes and pop music and pop culture? Are there enough takers for something that is so pure and rooted in a grammar that is thousands of years old? And that's the brand you carry. You don't popularize it and is strictly devotional. So are there enough people around the world? Obviously, from your profile, I know you have followers internationally. But is it hard? Is it a hard sell still?
Yeah, if you look at it as a commodity that has to be reached out to people, yes, it's very hard. But if you look at it as an all-consuming passion that you were born to do, and there's nothing else that you could have ever done, mm-hmm. then there's no question, there's no issue there, because you know that you were meant to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And whether people take it or not, as I said, from 100, I only wanted 200 people. I didn't ask for 5,000 or 10,000 people.
Or yesterday, 20,000 in the Kulwant Hall.
So you don't ask for it. But I think anything that's offered with purity of heart, as much as one can master, nobody is, I don't claim to be 100% pure. I'm a very ordinary human being. But whatever I can muster, the amount of surrender, amount of, offering that I can do, I think that message carries. And even internationally, for example, I'm just going to be performing at the Royal Albert Hall next week. And now it's a huge place. It's like a stadium.
Yes.
I am scared. But yeah, I have to believe that when I offer my music, the hardcore Carnatic that I am singing, with all the conviction that I have, it's not me. You know, there's one listener who told me in Paris actually once, his name is Jean-Paul Obu, he's not there anymore, but he said, you know, when you sing, it's not you that I hear your ancestors.
Wow, that's a beautiful compliment. Yeah.
Because, you know, it's they who passed it on to you and you were lucky to inherit that. So don't think you're doing it. Somebody is singing through you. So sing.
Well, you know, you belong to that rarefied category, if I may use the word, of artists who have really aligned their spirituality with their profession, because what you do seems to be your worship. You bring in that passion of worshiping like your life depended on it. You sing with that intensity. It's not a job. It's your prayer. It's your everything. It stems from a deeper place within you. How did you get to that spot? Was it there in you from your childhood? And what was the process like to reach where you are, where you're so intensely involved with what you do? And people have, you know, many different things. Music is one aspect of their personality. There's some other. For you, bread, butter, worship, everything is one right now. How hard is this to get there?
I don't think it's hard. It's just that when you are born into a certain kind of parentage, and because both my parents were very, very unusual kind of people. I mean, my mother would, I mean, if she saw something beautiful, you know, if she just saw, for example, that peacock feather, and she saw, she would shed tears. I mean, that's the kind of oneness she had with nature and with what you call as God, you know. So anything could move her. So she believed that life was, you know, meant to be experienced and the beauty to be felt every minute. So when you are born to such a parent, or and my father was equally very passionate about music. So they, I think, inculcate that sense of worship in you. When you sing, it's not singing, it's worship. So
you've had a number of gurus as well.
I've had a number.
Tell us about
gurus.
The journey of learning under so many well-known, learned doyens of Indian music.
Yeah, my first guru was my mother, who taught me the rudiments. At the age of 10, great musician called Srimati T. Brinda. She literally walked into our house and stayed with us for 4 months a year for the several following many years. And I had a guru-sishya relationship with her one-on-one at home. And this was, again, very unusual. So living, sleeping, breathing with her and singing with her was a great, great experience. Then there was A.S. Mani, a disciple of Tiger Vardacharya. There was K.S. Narayan Swami, a great Veena player. There was T.R. Subramanyam. And then also Balamurli Krishna ji has taught me some very, very small things, but he's also one of my mentors, so I've been very lucky.
Indeed. And what is your message for the listeners of Radio Sai? We have a huge following for all the concerts that happen in Puttaparthi, and I'm sure this one will have many hits on our website, because I assure you, given the momentous occasion on which you sang and the energy that you brought and the love and the passion, there wasn't a single dry eye in that audience where I was sitting. What is your message to our listeners?
I think the message is with all of us being bonded by Baba, and he has lived and showed us that if you believe in something, if your heart goes out for something, then you just have to do it. You have to listen, live through your heart. You need your head, of course, but your heart should really guide you as you live, because that can really keep you in the right place, keep everybody around you in the right place.
So listen to your heart, yeah. And heart is the seat of God.
Yes.
It can't go wrong.
Yes.
Thank you very much for sharing your precious time and sharing your thoughts with us.
I'm so blessed, so privileged to be here. My heart is full. I'm completely overwhelmed at this point.
On behalf of all our listeners at Radio Sai, I just want to thank you and Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this conversation with the Queen of Melody, Mrs. Aruna Sai Ram. It came to you as a part of Tryst with Divinity series. Do send us your feedback. Our email ID is listener@radiosai.org. Thank you for joining us, and Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam.
ನಮ್ಮಮ್ಮನಿ ಸೌಭಾಗ್ಯದ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಿ ಬಾರಮ್ಮ ನಮ್ಮಮ್ಮನಿ ಸೌಭಾಗ್ಯದ ಭಾಗ್ಯದ 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 ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಿ ಬಾರಮ್ಮ ಸಾಧು ಪೂಜೆಯ ವೇಳೆಯ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಸಾಧು ಪೂಜೆಯ ವೇಳೆಯ ಮಜಿತೆಯೊಳಗಿನ ಬೆಣ್ಣೆಯಂತೆ ಭಾಗ್ಯದ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಿ ಬಾರಮ್ಮ ನಮ್ಮಮ್ಮ ನೀ ಸೋ ಭಾಗ್ಯದ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಿ ಬಾರಮ್ಮ ಕನಕ ವೃಷ್ಟಿ ಕರೆಯುತ ಬಾರೆ ಮನಗೆ ಮಾನವ ಸಿದ್ಧಿಯ ತೋರೆ ದಿನಕರ ಕೋಟಿ ತೇಜತಿ ಕೊಳೆಯು ಜನಕರಾಯನ ಸೌಭಾಗ್ಯದ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಿ ಬಾರಮ್ಮ ನಮ್ಮಮ್ಮನಿ ಸೌಭಾಗ್ಯದ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಿ ಬಾರಮ್ಮ ಅತ್ತಿತ್ತಗಳದ ಭಕ್ತರ ಮನೆಯೊಳು ನಿತ್ಯ ಮಹೋತ್ಸವ ನಿತ್ಯ ಸುಮಂಗಲ ಸತ್ಯವ ಕೋರುತ ಸಾಧು ಸಜ್ಜನರ ಸಿದ್ಧರಿ ಹೊಳೆಯುವ ಪುತ್ಥಳಿ ಬೊಮ್ಮೆ ಭಾಗ್ಯದ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಿ ಬಾರಮ್ಮ ನಮ್ಮಮ್ಮನಿ ಅರಿಸಿ ಸಕ್ಕರೆ ತುಪ್ಪ ಹಾಲುವೆ ಅರಿಸಿ ಶುಕ್ರವಾರದ ಪೂಜೆಯ ವೇಳೆಯ ಅಕರೆಯುಳ್ಳ ಅಳಗಿರಿ ರಂಗನ ಚೊಕ್ಕ ಪುರಂದರ ವಿಠಲನ ರಾಣಿ ಭಾಗ್ಯದ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಿ ಬಾರಮ್ಮ ನಮ್ಮಮ್ಮ ಬಾರಮ್ಮ ಬಾರಮ್ಮ ಬಾರಮ್ಮ